Ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
You sure?
I'm always ready. I'm kind of tired, but I'm ready.
Tired? Wake up! It's time to rise and shine. All right, let's do this. Ready?
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. See Miriam Tazi in the house.
What's up, Malcolm Riddle?
You know it. You're back.
I'm back, sort of.
Back in the studio.
Yeah.
You're on a hiatus, right?
Kind of. Hmm? I will be again.
You're all over the place.
Summertime.
It is summertime. And that's right, people. So here we go again. Another episode of American Riddle. So thanks for tuning in. You know how we do it. We do it live. That's right.
No, we don't.
Well, we kind of do it. Sort of live.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? We get it up there.
I mean, we're live right now to each other,
but that's it. Point. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. And yes, Miriam Tazi, welcome back.
Thanks.
Yep, we missed you.
Did you?
Yeah, you know, Rick Marrero held it down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like Rick.
I do too.
Like him on the podcast. And then, yeah, a lot's been going on. I know you've been entertaining family, right?
Again, yes.
That's right. You've been entertaining, and I was off to L.A. I did an episode... did a couple episodes, actually, and then I said I would recap. So that's what I'm going to do for you people listening. We're going to recap my adventures in L.A. So
nice.
I don't even think I filled you in on the 411.
I think you were trying to save it for the podcast.
Really?
You told me some of it.
I
saw some
podcast,
pictures.
Huh?
But no, I don't know all the details.
Mm.
I know it went well.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it went pretty well. I still haven't really had time to process it.
Well, yeah, because you just like go as soon as you got back.
As soon as I got back, I just hit the streets. Yeah, I hit the streets.
You don't even think about the time difference or anything. You're just like, nope, I'm in.
I don't because I'm a machine, okay? I am a machine, and I just keep running. I'm like the Terminator. Mm-hmm. And that's how I do it. So, yeah, getting back and from L.A. So it was fun, people. It was a quite an experience. And for you guys tuning in, I'm talking about the event I did at Paramount Studios. It was the 40th. Block party for the Concern Foundation to raise money for cancer research.
You guys raise a lot of money.
Like 1.6, 1.7 mil, something
That's
like that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's a power event. So this is where all the restaurants in L.A., all the top chefs and restaurants and vendors.
They showcase their
businesses.
Stuff.
And yeah, you're basically on the lot where they filmed The Godfather. You know what
That's
I mean?
Insane to me.
Oh,
I can't believe that.
Oh, I'm in heaven when I'm there. I'm not kidding. It's for me. It's very magical. It's inspiring. But also keep in mind, everyone, I'm trying to coordinate this from the East Coast throughout the year to make sure I got all my ducks in a row.
That's crazy.
So you're talking about. Lining up wine, making sure it's in stock, making sure you have you're also a staff. You have to have staff, so you have
You need some help.
5,000 people, right? Just banging it away, eating, drinking, dancing. I mean, it's so much stuff going on. And
do they have like music and stuff too?
Oh, hey, great! This was more of a kind of a Mexican themed one, so it was just Oh, it was so
Pacheta?
Festive.
You're
yeah.
Salsa.
Yeah. Will Blagrove, he's been on the show. He was doing salsa and he was just pouring mangria and he was having a
Well, mangria really fits. That's kind of cool.
It was great.
Yeah.
Once again, our table, we killed.
Smart.
We murdered. It was
that,
insanity.
I think that's the text I got.
It was insanity. It is. For any of you guys in the wine business, or if you're not in the wine business, let's just say if you've been to a trade show or a wine tasting where there's different booths set up, this is without it being an actual quote unquote wine event, it's the Super Bowl of events, as far as in my world. Like it's the creme de la creme. You know what I mean?
Or creme de la creme.
Yeah, you can
whatever.
Say it that way too. You know what I mean?
Oh, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
It is. And so I'm coordinating this throughout, the better part of the year, which is plenty of time. But again, when you're doing it and you don't live in L.A.
It's much more
to
challenging.
Do this.
Yeah.
So it's my second year. Second year. And
You think it was better this year than last year for you, like because you had done it already, or
the first year? See, now I'm starting to think about it, and I'm processing.
And you're smiling. Yeah, yeah. Smile on your face.
Yeah, because it absorbs in, because it takes a lot of it. You have to pay attention to what's going on, and you
well, there's really a lot going on probably at the same time.
You got to know the streets. You got to know L.A. You got to know, most importantly, you got to know that anything and everything can go wrong. So that's how you have to plan an event like this when you live out of state, especially, you know, thousands of miles out of state. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of.
And it's not even an event that I get paid for. Like no one funds me. I don't get paid for. I don't get paid for flying out there, hotel, car, food,
nothing,
or doing the event in money. I don't get paid for. I get paid for it in other ways. You know, it's fulfilling to complete something like that.
Yeah.
It's fulfilling to help out for an organization like that. You know what I mean? But even my staff, you know, I let them know when I request help that it's for, you know, you have to volunteer. This is a volunteer. You're pitching in. It's, you know, it's going to be work, but you're going to have fun. You're going to eat. You're going to drink.
Oh, it's an experience.
And we're going to raise some money for a great cause. But, you know, we ain't getting no papes.
Get your way there.
Yeah, we ain't getting no papes. You know?
Yeah.
So that's why I specifically handpicked the crew that I had that live there. That way, you know, it's not that difficult for them to get in. They get to get on Paramount. They know what it's about. Like I said, Will, movie star, is in the movie Divergent, host of different television shows, the face of Sprint for a while, you know, and he's, we met at a film festival. So him and I hit it off. We've been really good friends and, you know, yeah, I just stay in contact with people. And of course, Anna, who helped out, she worked
that girl.
With us in the wine business here in the DC area and moved out there. So I hit her up. And then Becca, another young lady who helped me out, I met her at the last event and just through social media stayed in contact and just threw it out there, I guess, 3 months prior to see if, because I thought someone would drop out.
You got to be prepared.
So I had two other people just in case someone didn't. But it all worked out because everyone was fired up. They were ready to go. And, yeah, we had a great time. But like I said, when you're planning an event like this, I mean, you have to plan. You have to almost plan for failure in some way that something's going to snag. Mm. You know what I mean? So in my case, to answer your question.
Oh, finally. Thanks.
Was it easier or was it better this time? It's probably pretty much equal.
Really?
Except this time I was faced with a couple of challenges because right when I flew out, I wasn't sure how much time I would have. Okay, because I had to pick up the wine and I had to go to Adam Carolla's studio to pick up some material there.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt Fondelier, Adam's assistant, was waiting for me. And I thought I was good because our plane, you know, I got the early a.m. flight. Always get the early a.m. flights because it's like a five-hour flight. Yeah. For some reason, the late afternoon, and evening
something
flights, it's like 7
wrong.
Hours. They're like,
later?
It's like it's like a longer 6-hour plus flight. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's going against the wind. I don't know. I can't figure that one out. But I've done the math, and when you look at the ticket, it's like, damn. So I just want I picked the early one. That way I get there early, like 11:30 a.m. Get up in the camp. And everything's good. We got there early. So I hit Fondelier up. I'm like, yo, here, you know what I mean? I'll be there shortly. I got to get the rent-a-car. Get to the Hertz rental car, right? And their system was crashed. And it was a line like you wouldn't believe. You think they were selling the iPhone 6 or something. The line was so long. It was sick. I was like, here we go. Right? So I knew I had to be at the distributor by a certain time too, because
well,
it's a
close,
Friday.
Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
Close early.
And so when you're playing it that close, anything can happen. Meaning, because
you were only there one day before the event too.
That's
so
right.
It's like you had
so
no
you're playing
choice.
It close. But I had already had someone whom I haven't seen in over 20 years who's going to pick up the wine for me just in case. So I had him in North Hollywood.
That's good.
Right? He was a
really
good
nice.
Friend of my brother's, good friend of the family as well, but closer friends with my older brother. Again, I haven't seen this gentleman in over 20 years, but again, through social media. So I was like, I called my brother up. Hey, is Dre all right? You know what I mean? He's not on the sauce. He's not on the sticky icky. You know what I mean? He ain't juicing. He's not, you know what I mean, tweaking or anything. Like, he's okay. He's like, yeah, he's okay. Just get him some. So I kind of talked to the Concern Foundation, got some tickets.
Nice.
So, yo, I got some tickets for your family. And, yeah, those tickets, man, they really.
You told me the prices were ridiculous.
Yeah, $400 a pop. You know? So that was very generous of them.
Yeah.
And even generous on, you know, Adam Carolla, Mark Clinard, and Mike August for donating the Mangria. So, like I said, I don't get paid, but, you know, what you get in return, of course, it strengthens my relationship, you know, in the Carolla camp, Mangria camp, and the Concern Foundation. And when you do for people, they do for you. You know what I mean? You're not asking.
At least
I'm not asking.
You would hope, you know, somehow. Not that it's expected, but it's, you know.
Well, the thing is, I'm not asking for
it
anything
does come
to,
back.
In return.
It does
I'm
come
not,
back.
You know, I've done events. You do a lot of stuff
it's
for
good
free.
Good karma, man. It comes back to you somehow, hopefully.
Yeah. And you're not really, I'm not looking for a handout or anything like that. I got access. I got access to Corolla Studio. I get, you know, access to.
There's some perks.
Mangria. Yeah, yeah. And so we have. Yeah, so the back to the Hertz Rent-A-Car thing, you know, it was like a line. I was in there for over 2 hours, right?
Oh.
And it was, and it was, yeah. That so sucks. Luckily, I had Dre. He picked up the wine. That worked out. I finally got to Corolla's studio and picked up what I needed to be picked up there, and everything worked out well. It's just you just have to have people in the streets that's ready to go.
Yeah,
and use
like you got a little army going. Get,
I do. I got a good crew out there. tight crew, trustworthy
that's
crew
really
as
important.
Well. It's very important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go-to people. I mean, you can't put a price on that. So I really appreciate their help. So the event went off well. Did it go as good as it was just as good. A few hiccups that there were challenges, you know, I was faced with, but I handled them with ease. I'm a
you're
professional.
A professional. Yeah.
Thank you, Mariam Tazi.
I think you're a professional.
I'm a professional.
You're good at what you do.
You know what I mean? I'm a pro.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to be, people. You really do. You have to expect that. And then you have to, if something comes up, you have to know your resources and you have to handle it, you know, at a good pace. You know what I mean? You can't get frustrated or flustered and, you know, break down and, you know, you just got to keep rolling with it and have a plan B and a plan C just in case.
Yeah, you can't be doing this half-assed,
you know what I mean?
And at the last minute.
And even if the crew wouldn't have showed up and it was just me and, you know, Will and I, two people could have handled it. We had a crew of four, so that gave us a great opportunity for two people to man the station while two people go get food and drink and play. Yeah, or network. In my case, I went and just, you know, did some networking. Met Jacqueline Smith.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean?
You know.
Original Charlie's Angel. So, yeah, that was fantastic.
She looks really good, by the way. She still looks really good.
She's Jacqueline Smith. She's an angel. You know what I mean?
Okay, but I'm just saying in real life.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, she's garage kept. I mean, you know,
she's garage kept.
Yeah, she doesn't have any worries, you know. But, you know, they're a fantastic lady, very, you know, outgoing. I didn't get to spend too much time in the Celebrity Center just because I was holding down the fort.
Well, you were
but
working.
It was a great opportunity to be there again this year. And, yeah, I look forward to doing it again next year. I mean, like I said, it was, you know, with little hiccups there were, I mean, you know, I had it covered. And, you know,
it's
great just for the fact that, you know, I can pat myself on the back and be like, you know, I know for a fact I could do an event anywhere in the world without a problem. With some challenges, should I go to France or Italy?
Say,
but that's what I got you for. That's what I got you and Antonio for. I'm talking about my buddy Antonio Cabibi, who lives in Rome. So I've got certain people in place. It's weird when I think about it, when I realize how deep my Rolodex is as far as international and national connections, all up West Coast and Michigan, just all over the place.
You've moved around a lot, so
yeah,
that's
yeah,
good.
I've been around.
That's how it happens. I can relate.
But relationships, people, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's about those relationships. And when you want to make something happen, I don't care if it's, you know, an event, if it's a fundraiser, if you want to make a film, if you want to do anything, if you just want to go visit someplace, you got to have people on the ground.
Yep.
It's very important.
It helps a lot.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it was a great trip out there. I hung out with my my man Frank Motek. Frank is a broadcaster for CBS. He is the voice of business. Frank and I met, for those of you guys listening, I have talked about this on the podcast before, but I'll recap it. Frank and I met just by chance at Starbucks in Beverly Hills many years ago. Not really many, many, but I guess maybe four years ago, somewhere around that timeline. And just in passing, I was doing some editing on a short film I was working on and just sitting around and hanging out in Beverly Hills. And he sat next to me and we started talking about wine. One thing led to another. He was like, it's impossible. I'm looking for this German Riesling. You can't get it. So I tracked it down for him, had it waiting for him in a store. And again, resources and we developed a friendship over time, and it took me a while to get back to LA after that trip. Almost a couple of years, I think. Because I was broke and I still am, but I'm on the rise and I got some stuff going on, but it was challenging, I remember. And so him and I stayed in contact with just on social media. That's it. And he's always been really welcoming. About his resources and when I'm in LA, he shows me not just the who's who, but he takes me to places where we can network and, see things that, normal, tourists would not see. And I don't even consider myself a tourist.
It sounds like you know LA.
LA pretty well, to the fact it's like almost feels like home when I'm there. It really does. I mean, he even will send me a text when I land, "Welcome home." So it's like it's weird because usually when you go someplace, you're thinking a vacation. But I was on work mode. Even when I hang out with him, we go to the Beverly Hills. We hung out with Prince Frederick. He's married to, as you guys may or may not know, to Zsa Zsa Gabor up in Bel Air. And the places, yeah.
Wait, you said that.
Yeah. But if you think about it, like, I think someone asked me, did I go to Venice Beach? Did I go here? Like some of these hot spots that people usually go to. I was like, no, why would I? I was on Paramount Studios. I watched the World Cup final game with Prince Frederick.
The only game you probably watched.
This is true. This is true.
But you watched it in style.
I was cheering.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Eddie Murphy and Coming to America. Yes. Yes. I was there, and that's a house, a very historic house where they live in Bel Air, where it's the house that Argo was filmed.
Oh yeah,
there. And what was the other one? The Liberace.
Oh, the candle behind the candelabra.
That's right. That was filmed there, and it was also the house that Howard Hughes built. Designed. So a lot of history, and I'm a big Howard Hughes fan. That was just great. I mean, I posted some pictures on it, and I'll post a couple more after this podcast. But did that. Went to another party in Beverly Hills, where was the French...
Bastille Day.
Yes.
You didn't even know either. Yes. You're like, I'm going to some French party on the 14th of July. I was like, Bastille Day. And you're like, what?
What I like about Frank is he's the type of guy. It's like, yo, he doesn't say yo, but I'd like for Frank to say yo.
I can't imagine him saying
he's the type of guy that not only does he break bread with you, but he tells you, look, there's a party here. You're with me. You're on the list.
Awesome. So it's he must really like you, though. I don't think he does that.
The feeling is mutual. So it's good.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is, to say the least, and his wife also. Mm-hmm. They're a wonderful couple, and it makes my life easier, when I go there, and and work. So it's just a good transition. And, you know, what am I going to do? Go to Venice and go. I mean, most people would have to sit in a van with no roof to see the houses and the places that I've hung out and been privileged to be a part of.
Over there, it's
pretty cool.
The hills over there.
It's very, it's almost epic on many levels. But it's amazing. The key thing is building and cultivating the relationships, and with Frank it's different because we're friends, and I consider him a friend. But it's to make it anywhere, any big city, you can get chewed up and spat out. So, and you can get caught up in all the traps, you know what I mean?
Very
so,
easily.
I was out there, I was on a mission accomplished.
Good for you.
And,
I'm happy for you.
Yeah. I was a little worried because last year I had 20 cases of wine. This year I didn't even have half that. I did, 6 cases. I did 2 cases of Mangria, the white, the peach pear flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I did 2 cases of the Brosé. I did 2 cases of the Mangria red, the orange, and that's it. And for 4,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. And we did it. They drunk us out for pros. I had some backup too. What I did was I made man grenades.
Nice.
So I used the San Pellegrino, the limonada, the lemonade, and cut it because it was hot. It was like 85 degrees. It wasn't as hot as last year. Last year, I think, was in the 90s. But, I had a bunch of San Pellegrino in different flavors, so we would cut it and give them shots and healthy pours as well. And
so it worked out.
Yeah. Again, awesome. There was plan B and C there.
Just in case.
Because last year I had a little bit too much wine left over and I had to take it back to the warehouse. And, I didn't want to have to deal with all that. So I just kind of, tested it out, tested the waters out to see what 6 would do. 6 you can do.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
That many people?
I am too.
I mean, at our tastings, we go through a lot of wine.
Well, the reason is I'm a what?
All right. All right.
I'm a professional people.
I'm not going to keep saying it. You have it recorded now. You can play it on repeat when you want.
That's right. So, everything worked out well. I didn't, I had a lot of fun, hung out.
What
a
couple Adam Carolla Studios?
Yeah.
What about that?
I went there. When did I go there? I think Sunday. Was that Sunday night after the event? The event was Saturday. Yeah, Sunday I went to was in Bel Air and hung out there with the Prinz. And Frank and his lovely wife and Julia. And then after that, Germany won. I went to Corolla won over in Glendale. So that was a fun-filled day. I mean, yeah. What do you want me to say? I mean, it's that's Adam Carolla's studio. I mean, he's someone that influenced me to start this podcast. And so this time around, I went there and hung out, watched the podcast again. But this time I wanted to go in and look at how the engineers did things. And right. Basically, like I said, behind the scenes, I hung out, with the crew. And they have a man in the mixer. And someone else is screening phone calls. Someone else is on the internet doing the searches and feeding Adam his information or whatever he needs to look up, whatever picture he needs. Basically, everything that I do here
is manned by one person for each.
Yeah. Like, so when I'm going crazy or I'm going nuts, which a lot of you guys don't see yet, but it's basically.
Isn't on some of the bloopers in there? Like
I did play a blooper episode. Yeah, I did. A couple shows back, I played a reel.
Taste of it.
So I lose it. Every now and again. A lot of times I lose it before the show or I just crash after. But yeah, I'm like Doc Ock over here with so many arms and trying to do the computer, do the mixer, do the make sure the sound is up. But yeah, they're pros. They're the real deal.
Well, yeah,
he's been in radio for so long and television and now movies. So he's got it down to a science.
Yeah.
I mean it runs like a well-oiled machine. He's in there, we talked for a bit. He fixed my collar on my jacket. I guess my collar was a little ruffled and it was bothering him, so he tucked it in and pulled me close and fixed it and then smoothed it off for me, patted my shoulder.
You guys are buddies. Look
no,
at that.
No, no, I wouldn't say that, but I got a lot of respect for him and how he does things.
Of course.
And
he works hard, man.
It is
that.
Something to witness, and I watch everything like a hawk. Like I'm just watching to see how things are done, and yeah, it's inspiring. Definitely an inspiring, you know, thing to witness. That's for sure.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great. So I mean, yeah, even that day alone. I mean, what else am I going to do to top that? Seriously,
I don't know.
Like, what can I do to top that? Yeah.
That's kind of like overwhelming, mm-hmm. you know, like too much.
Yeah.
Like no wonder it still hasn't really hit you. You
know? No, no. No, I mean.
It's going to take a while.
And even, like I said, when I got back, I just hit the ground running. So I got back, when did I get back? Tuesday, I guess. And then I just hit the ground running, hit the streets of D.C. and Northern Virginia, selling Mangria and, you know, other wines, trying, you know, knocking on doors. So I didn't have time, you know, to suck it all in. I just landed, got a little bit of rest, and next morning I was just banging on doors, you know.
It's nuts.
It was. And I had tastings all that weekend. So, I mean, it's been nonstop ever since.
Yeah, there's a lot of tastings during the summertime.
But that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I did a Mangria tasting at a Whole Foods. It's funny because I did the Mangria tasting at Whole Foods, you know, that weekend when I got back from California. And, you know, it's fine. You know, it went over well. They bought a boatload of Mangria, met some customers. They were taking pictures and tweeting and stuff. So the fans, I mean, they come through.
They're serious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't draw the crowds like Adam does, but, I mean, we had a good turnout. Sold some wine. People know where to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. Oh, and, you know, there are some people that just don't understand it. A few ladies, they came up and they just kind of didn't understand it. Some people get it. Some people don't. I had one lady, she was tripping. She was like, a couple of them tried to challenge my wine knowledge. You know, this ain't that type of party, people. And then one lady, I just want to try. I'm not trying the wine, but I had it set up with the wine on display, my Mangria cards, and then I had some couple bottles of San Pellegrino just show that it's a cocktail.
Right.
You know, you have to educate the customer so they can see what they can do with it. So they can have fun with it. Relax,
right.
Okay? This isn't the wine that you're going to be aging. You're not going to pair it up with lamb or game. You're not going to pair it up with, you know.
This is for fun.
It's for fun, yes. So. One lady was like, oh, well, I don't drink. I'm with, I have children. All right, lady.
Why is she judging you for, what's, I don't know.
But how about that? Can I try that?
What?
And I was like,
I don't drink, but can I try that?
Yeah. I was like, can I try that? The San Pellegrino?
Oh,
and,
by itself?
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's actually part of the blending that I do to show you the cocktails. And that's all I said. I was like, yeah, well, that's just for display right there. And I didn't think anything of it, right? So like 3 seconds passed and she goes, well, does that mean I can't try it? And I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not here selling San Pellegrino, woman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, damn. I was like, yeah, you can try.
Get some. There's a six pack right down that aisle.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking at the time. And she was like, she said something. Does it cost you that much or something to that nature? Right? She got really snippy and just nasty.
Was she just sampling everything going around, just getting freebie stuff?
I don't know what's wrong with people. Sometimes they just...
Because people do that.
They just feel like you owe them or they're just privileged to anything and everything. You know what I mean? We're out here. Any vendor that goes out there, I don't care if it's the food vendor and you're letting your child put your hands all in it and get all of the samples or whatever, you know... These people are out there working hard.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times it's, you know, for free. You're out there giving up your weekend, you know,
exactly.
While they're cooking out, and so it's a grind, but you know, you gotta brush it off. sometimes.
It's sometimes. Easier to do sometimes than others, but
yeah. But yeah, you know, you gotta brush it off. And then I had another guy, same tasting, older guy came up to me, and he goes, "Hey, I need to ask you a question. This kills me, right?" And he's like smiling, old dude, silver hair, you know what I mean? Extra pale, white socks, shorts, white socks pulled up to his knee. You know what I mean? Some sort of loafer he was wearing with it. And I'm like, "All right, guy." And he's like, nice though, nice guy. You know, he was pleasant. So he's smiling, he's happy. He's like, I just want to ask you a question, but you got to promise me you're not going to get offended." Exactly. Miriam's making a face. And I'm like,
a weary face.
And I'm like, "All right. Well, since you positioned it that way, sir, I reserve the right to get offended." All right? I do, because you've already set it up.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth, but I must let you know. So he kind of laughed and chuckled. "Well, I just have a question. I was just asked a question. We'll find out. How's that? Is it fair enough?" And he goes, "Well, I just want to know the blacks. You guys all have the same hairstyle. Your hairstyle is, you know, I see that. It's common. It's a common haircut, you know, that you guys have. Is, you know, am I being offensive?" And I'm just like, you know,
wow.
Yeah, it's a
wow.
It's a common
first the blacks.
Yeah. It's a what are you gonna do? You know,
what are you gonna do?
I just kind of shrugged it off, and crazy old man. Yeah, it's a common hairstyle. Yeah, you know what? You're right. It is common. Is that like, how do they do that? How do they, he kept saying that, how do they get it so straight? I was like, oh, you know, clippers, man. It's just, you know, just edges it up. You can get one too, you know? Yeah. So that's the stuff you have to deal with sometimes, people, when you're out there grinding it out. The wine business isn't always as glamorous as you think sometimes, you know. And a lot of times, you know, you say something foolish out your neck. Sometimes, depending on what mood I'm in, yeah, you might catch holy hell.
Same here.
Yeah, I just
now that I think about it. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to.
I've been in a good mood here and there, and you know, I just kind of blew that one off. Especially when you're doing one like in a Whole Foods or something, and you know, it's a major chain. You just kind of keep on.
You know, when we were talking about Obama and stuff, and how people think that he's the worst president of all time now. Mm. I had a customer that when said that stuff to me today, and I was like, "Why are we talking politics? This is not the place."
Yeah, I don't.
It's not the time or the place. It was just very awkward, and then I was just like, "All right, thanks. Have a good day." You know, I just did not.
I don't engage. Like, I don't engage in politics or religion, especially when there's alcohol involved. So it's not my thing. You know, I'll talk film, movies, podcasting, women, men. Relationships even, but there's, you know, yeah, I usually stay away from that just because that also can impact your what you're there to do, which is promote a brand.
Yeah, no, it's very, you know, distracting.
So it's not something I'll work my way around. Just like with this guy, I just kind of just, you know, get him in and get him out, you know, before someone gets hurt.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, oof. I don't take it personal. I don't take stuff like that personal. Because he didn't mean any harm. He just didn't know how to really articulate, you know, in the old, you know, old man-itis. Who knows?
That's no excuse.
I didn't make excuses for him. I just, like I said, I just ushered him out, you know, moving right along. Pops.
Yeah.
All right. Hit the bricks. Jeez. You know, sexy. Hit him. Hit the bricks, Pops. Or else. Yeah, it is what it is. That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? So I got back, and I was down at my mother's house. She's retired, so she's a few weeks, I guess, into retirement.
How is she liking it?
Cleaning stuff up, you know, taking naps.
That's awesome. You know, she probably hasn't taken a nap in ages.
I saw her the other day, and she was cleaning up, and she found she has a storage bin or whatever, so I've got some stuff in a small storage unit. It's just some boxes of stuff that I have or whatever, right? So she was rummaging through. "Oh, I found all these knives that you ordered like 15, 20 years ago. Like, I used to be a notorious late-night television shopper. You know when you see your channel surfing? and you see the knife collection, it's like 300 knives.
And you get two for one.
$200, you get 300 knives. What are you going to do with the knives? So like 20 years ago, I had bought, and I don't even remember what I did with them. So apparently she found them, right? Oh, I found all these knives that you bought along, to, you know, years ago.
Great. Do they? Are they still sharp?
I didn't even follow up with her. Until.
Until what?
Until she said, I found these too. And I look, and it's a stack of Playboy magazines.
Oh, Lord.
From like
from that chest?
The 80s and early 90s.
Your mom found those?
Bunch of them. Mm. Tons of them. And she goes, yeah, I didn't throw them out because maybe.
Oh, so nice.
Well, maybe what? What are you talking?
We don't have the internet.
I didn't throw them out because maybe you know, maybe what?
What an awkward conversation.
Yeah,
what,
yeah, so we had
to
this
have
whole
as a full grown man with your mother.
Whole conversation about the Playboy. Of course, I had to take a peek and see what they were. I mean, there were some.
Do they still look good?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
You can talk to me like I'm one
yeah.
of your boys. It's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was nice. He was like, well, maybe I'll just put them back in the, you know,
the
in
chest.
The storage so Justin and Justin and baby Craig can find
they can
them.
Inherit
Justin,
them.
Justin, my son, is
that's
you know 12
weird.
Years old. I thought so,
that's
too.
That's kind of weird.
But it is something that boys do. They find their dad's porn. They do. They find it. Now you don't really need to find anything. You just go
saying.
Onto your phone.
Yeah, just the internet.
But this is
like
the organic experience, like the vinyl you pick up and you turn the pages. You know what I mean?
The sticky pages.
So I was like, yeah, why don't you put those away? Why don't you save those?
Did your mom
for me,
hide
I mean
your
the
porn?
Boys.
Really?
Yeah, she put them somewhere. I didn't follow up. I don't.
That's
I didn't,
weird.
For the record, people. Weird. Yeah, yeah. Playboy, but you have to understand too. I said this before on the podcast for some reason.
You read the articles?
Listening.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, not so much the articles. Yes, I did read them, for the record. But it was a time, at least I thought, because my dad had some, I just thought it was the norm. I didn't look at
it
as... Well,
it is the norm, but it's not like...
I didn't look at it as like something dirty or filthy. I just thought, just like my dad always had pistols. On New Year's, we would shoot guns. I thought... Everyone did this stuff. I thought everyone did it. So it was when I met people.
When you, it's all when it's all you know. Of
when I met civilized people and they said, we don't do that.
My dad now. People are civilized in America. I was yeah. like, yeah. yeah, I guess.
We don't do that. Okay. What is this firearm you're pulling out at the New Year's party, Malcolm? Well, maybe.
Like not around your family?
No. I was like just around regular folk. And I was like, oh, yeah, you guys ready? I pull out this.
Well, it's like if I think everybody tomorrow is going to be like decapitating a lamb and eating skewers of heart
yeah,
and liver.
Yeah, yeah.
No one. And when I told people that this is what people do.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
Yeah. The I mean, who knew is what I'm saying. And same with the Playboy. There was just in the bathroom. There was always one like in the magazine shelf with the jet and the ebony and. You know, all this stuff. There was a Playboy. So when I was a kid, I would just go in and just take a peek real quick and then go running out. You know what I mean? Like, holy mackerel.
The image is like...
But it was soft. It wasn't like I was looking at Hustler or something like that. It was just... It was soft.
Classy.
Yeah, it was classy. You know? No big deal. Who knew, though, that it was frowned upon in mainstream America? You know what I mean? And like I said,
not
you
really,
flat... You
fa- it's not really anymore.
If you flash forward into when I was like in my 20s... And when I was dating Justin's mom and...
I think you told that story on the podcast, but I'm talking about the chest. It was...
I had a chest.
That's what I'm talking about. I think you mentioned
yep,
this.
I had a chest. You might want to pull that back just a little bit. Yeah. Just yeah. Thank you. It's a little hot. The microphone. Yeah, I had the chest. And it's not like a big chest, people. It's a chest. Like a foot chest where you put stuff in. I had magazines in it. Playboys for many years.
Magazine.
Many years. You can come a little closer to that microphone.
Jesus, man. Just,
yeah, that's good right there. But I just had them. I don't look at them. If they're there and I just want to look at some titty, then I'd get a magazine. You know, go. Now you, it's all on your phone. You know, you can go in the bathroom. I don't do it, but.
You're giving examples that are very vivid.
You just want to, just a refresh. Uh-huh. You can do it. You don't have
yes,
a,
it is
at your
fingertips
so she was,
if you need
again,
to.
This,
okay.
My son's mom, back when we were dating, she went in my closet. Like, I don't know why, but she opened the chest up and she was like, I'm getting ready to vomit. You know, and I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? All stupid and looking all crazy in the face. Looking like, I mean, just look like, just bewildered. Just, I'm like, what the hell? What was in there? And I looked and I was like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? My voice gets higher. You know, I'm trying to explain. I'm reliving this shit, people. Like, what's the big deal? You got to throw it away. So that's when I took it down to my mom and stashed it. And it's been there for the better part of, you know, 20 years or whatever. So I'm not throwing it away.
How funny that your mom found them, too. Like, it's full.
I had it buried under a bunch of stuff, too. You know, you got to put it somewhere. You just took it away. Who knew? You know what I mean?
Why were you saving them for later?
I don't know, man. How am I supposed to know? You don't want to throw them away because it's archives. Someone has to tell the story later on.
The story.
Sure, why not? You know?
There's no story.
I put a lot of effort. You guys have to understand, listening.
In procuring them?
Yes. In the day, you have to understand, you had to make an effort to get a magazine. Okay, like I said, now you can just go on this site or the other site, you know, and download your pictures or films, whatever you want to call it, whatever you look at.
Films.
I had to drive, get in the car, you drive, and go to the magazine store. But in the magazine store, depending on the
magazine store?
Yes. In a magazine store, there was an area.
A store with just magazines?
Yeah, just all magazines. So you have Gun magazines, you have Time magazines.
Just magazines,
Newsweek,
though.
You got...
There's music and other stuff, too.
No, this was just a magazine store.
It's not a stand in a store?
It's like a big stand, but it's inside. It's like going to a wine shop, but it's nothing but magazines. There were certain stores like this.
They have them at the airport
now. Once
upon a time.
Yeah, you don't see them anymore. That's my point. That's how old I am, people. This is fucking ridiculous. So... Yeah, it's, you know, what am I going to do, people? I can't deny it. I can't hide it. I am who I am. You know what I mean? I'm just traveling through time like Sam Beckett.
Maybe I didn't buy porn like you did, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, I would pick up different magazines. I'd pick up my Star Wars Insider magazine. Okay? I would get that. You know, I might get like, you know, get a Playboy, Star Wars Insider. I'd get a video magazine just on audio and video and stuff like that. I'd get the fitness magazine. I get like a lot of different magazines because that's what you did back then. You would actually buy this binded paper and read it, reference it, you know? So I was at work.
For the plane or something.
No, you're at work. You're passing time. There was no internet. If it was internet, there was dial-up. You know, so you just buy it. And then over time, every month, you know, there's 12 issues in a month. Sometimes there's a bonus issue.
It's a lot.
Sometimes there's two bonus issues. There could be the college girl issue on top of the lingerie issue, you know. So you'd have the beach issue. So there's a lot of issues. So after a while... I'm dead serious. After a while, you would have a big, heavy stack, so you got to put them somewhere. So I got a chest. Put them all in there. Now to archive them. I can't make folders on my iPhone. You know, like now you can make folders and put them in smart folders. All sorts of folders.
Don't download that shit.
No, I don't. There's no need to because you can just, you know, see it and erase it. Delete cookies. You know, no one knows. You know, sometimes I think they know and I feel guilty, but... Fuck it. What are you going to do, people? So I had the chest, and she, so she's like, yeah, Justin, it is what it is. What am I going to do? That's my
and
point.
And now they're back.
It was an effort. I took a lot of effort, you know.
It's funny that they're back, and you're still saving them.
Yeah. I'll be some old and wrinkly man.
Old ass fucking magazine.
Real creeper.
From the 80s.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, it was a lot of effort.
Funny.
Yeah. I remember I got ratted out one time from my magazine guy because I had a specific store I went to. And it was another girl I was dating, and she went in to get a magazine. Goes, oh, yeah, your boyfriend comes in here. I haven't seen him in a while. You know, tell him we got the new issues of Playboy. And yeah. Young and 18 and fresh and, you know what I mean, naturals. I don't even know if those are real, but, you know. And she called me out. She was like, yeah, the guy at the magazine store said you had a special order of this, that. Nah, really? You special order them? Yeah, I'm waiting on the collector's edition. It's signed by Hef. Yeah, my life.
You and so many other dudes, I'm sure.
I'm not. I can't be the only one.
Of course not.
Cannot be the
only one. Every dude has like a box or a chest or a something.
Yeah, and
or a closet full of skeletons.
So yeah, mom has been doing pretty well. You know, been doing all sorts of stuff and relaxing. And they had a cookout recently, and I actually stayed and hung out for it. I don't really hang out for a lot of family events just because, you know, I have one of these families that's, if you stay too long, something's going to happen. Someone's going to speak out of their neck. It's going to be an argument, a fight. There's going to be noise, okay? I don't like noise, and I don't like questions. I always have to answer a lot of questions, you know what I mean?
Well, they haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah,
so
they get the posts, you know what I mean? They get my tweets.
That's enough.
You know what I mean? Well, then they want to ask questions about all that stuff, you know what I mean? But, which is fine. I just... Even before all this craziness, I just, you know, it's just crowds kind of, you know. If I'm not working, my real me is more reclusive, kind of withdrawn. So I just stay in a room or stay at home or, you know, sit in a magazine store and look at my porn. Yeah, weird dude I am. And people will testify to this too. You know, even when I'm at work sometimes, I don't talk. People always be like, you don't talk. I find out stuff about you on the podcast and stuff. So I just don't, you know, I'm not there. I'm not always there. So my apologies. But this time, you know, I made an effort. I said, yeah, I'll hang out at the cookout. Well, long and short, it was more of a family reunion cookout. Not our family, which is weird to me. It always has been weird. My mom goes to a family that's not really the family. It's her sister's husband's side of the family. But it's a big shindig. Hundreds of people come. They camp out. They go super early. They cook all night and all morning. And then they go there and they plant their steak so they get the best side. They want the best side of the field. You know what I mean? And they do it every year. They've been doing it for like 30 years, right? The best. They got to get it. But for some reason, the planners this year decided to sanction rules. That there's not going to be any more planning the steak so you get your space and saving spaces, and then everyone has to cook for everyone, and it's a potluck type deal. It's like all these rules and kind of ruffled my aunt and my uncle's feathers. It's their family, their side anyway, at least my uncle's side of the family. And yeah, they got pissed, so they were like, we're not going this year. You know what I mean?
It's a big deal.
And I was like, well, that's what y'all motherfuckers were going to do anyway. Y'all were going to be on a corner somewhere and be over in a corner. And then away from everyone else, because that's, you know, pretty much how our family is. And you could look and see everyone else mixing it up, but you guys are way over here. So what's the difference, you know? So I don't know. Something went down, and they decided to just cook out over at my mother's house. And so I went over and kind of made fun of them. And I tested the new Mangria formula out on all of them, and they all loved it. So it's Black Folk approved. And I sat around and joked and talked about all sorts of stuff. And a couple cousins came over. Yeah, I stayed. I knew my time was limited because, like I said, with my family, you got to, you know, you can see. I could see stuff started to brew about maybe. Usually I'll stay maybe 15 minutes or 20.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't do the 2 hour, 3 hour. But this time I did. I did maybe 45 minutes. And 45 minutes in, you don't know my family. 45 minutes in, something started happening.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There was some arguing going on between one of my brothers and the other brother, but the brother wasn't there. He was texting his argument in. And there was a lot of wolf tickets being sold. Wolf tickets is when someone's wolfing, someone's beefing, someone's arguing, someone's, you know, shouting. Wolf tickets. He's selling wolf tickets. Mm. Selling wolf tickets, right? So I was like, all right, that's going on there. And no big deal. Oh, he's on his way. There's going to be trouble. All right. Yeah, whatever. So I ain't paying out no mind. Then I had another cousin who showed up, and he kept looking at me. And he kept looking and looking. He was like, you look good. And he kept – it was weird because – he was fixated on something. He was fixated on my looks. Yeah, my youthful appearance. Okay, so it was bothering him, and he started circling me. Yep, and he's walking, and he's circling. You know, we were talking about old times or whatever, and you know, it was ha 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 ha. But you know, I could see something was rotten in Denmark. You know what I mean? You can just look in a motherfucker's eyes. I could tell. You know what I mean? It's time for Malk to get out of Dodge. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. If someone says something, mm-mm. We've all been there. I'm sure you've been to parties where, you know, just somebody's talking out their neck. There's going to be beef.
Oh, yeah.
So, but this is all the time with my family. Thanksgiving, Christmas, any holiday, birthdays. Sometimes nobody will show up and then there's just beef. I've never had beef via text messaging, but there was beef. So I'm sitting there, you know, we're all having a good time. Everybody's drinking. I turned everybody on Mangria. I made a couple man grenades, testing a new formula out. Everything's good, laughing, blah, blah, blah. Kids, my son, playing, you know, all that good stuff. But I could see that this one motherfucker just keeps looking. And every time he's like, yeah, you look good. You don't look like you aged. You know what I mean? You know, talking about gray hair. I'm like, yeah, I got some on the temples. It comes. I taper it really close. You know, I'm just like, yeah. He keeps looking. He keeps saying it. He goes, I remember the time when you and Patches, my cousin, my first cousin, came to the house when I first got married. You came all the way to my house just to see my wife, right? And that's what I said. Mary was making another face. She raised up, right?
So just to see my wife?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and I'm like, really? I was like, we did that? How old were we? Teenagers or something.
Oh.
And that's what I said. I was like, oh, well, I was like, and this cousin of mine is, he was like the coolest cousin. He was the cool guy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You remember, you know, we all have a cousin we thought was really cool. Well, he was it. He had the car, the motorcycle, the booming system. He had the good looks. He had sideburns. He had everything going. You know what I mean? I would use his name. When I was a kid growing up, I remember I had got a job and he used to work at a place I used to work at. And I would name drop and people would just part. It was like parting the sea because he was that cool. You know what I mean? You know, flash forward after, you know, alcohol problems, divorces and stuff like that. He's not as cool. You know, this reality. You grow up, you see someone, you're like, oh, you're not as muscular as I thought. I'm bigger than you now.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, it is what it is. You know, you lose the... You know, you lose a bit of stardom, I guess you could say. But anyway, he's still fixated on it. He's just like, yeah, you did. He just starts saying it over and over again. You came into the house. And my cousin and I, we started talking. I was like, yeah, I think. I was like, you know what? My cousin was like, I don't remember this. I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, well, I do remember it. I remember going to your house because it was in the woods. It was far away. We took effort back then. I was like, it takes effort, you know. And I was like, you know, I remember going, but I was like, we came to see you because you were cool. We always thought it was just that simple. Yeah, we knew who your wife is or was, but I was like, we weren't coming just to your house to just take a peek at your wife, right? But he kept bringing it up and bringing it up. Finally, I snapped, and I was like, well, shit, man, motherfuck. I was like, where is the bitch? I was like, show me some titties or something. If you're going to accuse me of chasing you down to see your wife, show me some ass and tit right now. I want to see, where is she now? Of course, they're divorced or whatever. But that's my point. If you're going to talk shit, right,
yeah,
and just be on top of me, I got to get something out of the fucking deal. I was like, you know, what am I going to drive back in, I don't know what year it was, 1989 or 1990, and, you know, try to figure out what was in my mind. Believe me, I told him it was probably the purest thought to be cool with you. Yeah, and we lucked up. Maybe we see a little cleavage, a little side boobage or something. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. But for him to bring it up
years later.
And he just kept bringing it up. And I couldn't.
When's the last time you saw this person?
I see him every blue moon. Every blue moon. But I don't hang out until it gets to that point. Usually, like I said,
yeah.
I do my 15. Peace. I do my 15 or 20, shake a couple hands, have a, you know, drink, and then I bounce. I always bounce. You got to know when to bounce, people, because when you stay that long and you got people that are just going to be asses because they get a couple drinks. I don't care if it's your brother, your father, your mother. Everybody has somebody in their family that's going to egg it on. You know what I mean? Everyone has that one. In my case, there's more than one. You know, they come at all angles. Therefore, usually I make an appearance, I hang out for a minute, and then I bounce. It's like, I'm like a mystery. I'm history. You know what I mean? Then I'm gone. You know? That's what I do. Because I know something's going to spark. Yeah. And I know me.
But you're also very observant and you know people.
That's right.
So.
And I watch people and I watch their eyes. And I kept watching him. He kept circling. He'd stand up. So I just started moving side to side. And I was like, time for, you know, I dipped out. I dipped out, you know. I didn't dip out in fear or anything like that. I just know motherfuckers is going to be motherfuckers. That's the only way I can put it. You know what I mean? I got to put it that way to you people, so cover your ears. But I already said it, so you can't cover your ears. But that's just how people are, you know?
Sometimes.
That's just how they are. I don't care. Whatever walk of life, everyone has people in their group, at work, in their family, you know? They're just going to trip out. And you don't want to ever overstay your welcome, even in your own home, even at your mom's or even at your dad or the family's compound. You don't want to because you know it's going to spark. You know, right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Shit sparks.
Shit sparks, but also sometimes you don't have an escape, you know?
I don't need to escape. I'm just leaving. I'm exiting. You know what I mean? I gave him my, you know, I hung out for a minute. Hung out for a minute, and then I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm out. I just
can't. You made an effort. That's good.
I did what I did.
Yeah.
Turned him on to a couple drinks.
I'm glad and, that went well.
Yeah, it's actually I'm excited about this new formula.
I really want to try
it. It's juicy. It's fresh. It's light. It's lighter, but still packs the punch. But it has more of a chance to creep up on you without you knowing it.
Uh-oh.
But whereas the first formula, you knew you were drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
It tasted strong and manly. This has finesse. This is a softer appeal. It's balanced. And it tastes like you would think something like this would taste like. Okay. And, you know, with the new label, it says cocktail on it. And they took the sangria off of it, which I like.
Gives it a little misleading.
Yeah, it's a cocktail. So, you know, it defines itself in its presence. So I do like that. I mean, a lot's been going on. A whole lot, huh?
Yeah.
You're caught up to speed, I think.
I think so.
You know, just out grinding away. And, I'm you know, the wine thing... I mean, it's just every day. You know, I lucked up, and I wouldn't even call it luck. I mean, I've been grinding for the past couple months. I have a couple other wines under my belt, and I've been going to some of the wine shops in the area, in the Washington, D.C. market. And I walked all up K Street and L Street, and that's a famous part of Washington, D.C., people. It's for those of you who don't live in the area and that's listening. Walked, you know, many, many, many blocks just going door to door and got a couple new clients. And then I hit some of the top wine shops in the area in Northern Virginia, like Arrow Wine, big wine shop.
Biggest,
and they recently picked up 40 cases from me, not Mangria, but another winery that I work with. And
that's huge.
It was big. It felt good. You know,
hell yeah.
It felt good. Yeah, that's for sure.
Back in the game.
And then I got a couple emails today from a couple other big wine shops that I've been having a hard time. I guess they saw the email from Arrow Wine that they picked up all this.
Oh, now they won.
So, yeah. Now they caught the vapors. And, you know, it was...
that's awesome.
But that's building. That's planting the seeds. So when you're out there, if you're in sales, I don't care if you're selling, you know, you could be selling anything. Yeah. Shoestrings, you could be selling... Vacuums, anything. Whatever you're selling, whatever you're doing, you could be selling yourself, promoting yourself. You got to be a farmer, and you got to plant those seeds, and you got to water those seeds, and eventually they're going to start to grow. It takes time, and it takes a lot of focus, and you're out there, and you're in the heat, and if you're like me, your car needs to get fixed, and your damn strut bearing ball or whatever the hell it was squeaking. And, oh, it was the worst. Is the worst for, like, you know, the mechanic wasn't available. And just, you just got to, you know, there's so many things that you got to do. But you tolerate it and you just keep grinding it out and seeing what happens. And eventually, in that case, dropped 40 cases. So now other shops are interested in this product. And hopefully this week proved to be just as fruitful. So we'll see, people.
Cool.
And, with that, let me segue in because, you know, still producing a podcast. I want to catch you before you leave town again or You didn't leave town. You have folks come into town.
Yeah, I'm leaving this time. I need a vacation, too.
You're going to San Francisco.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
I'm excited.
I'll be sure. It's been a few years. That'd be good. But I'm glad we were able to catch up. I posted online a Q&A session. So why don't we look at a couple questions that the audience has asked us. I tell you, man, I need a computer guy like Adam Carolla. You know what I mean? That's what I need. So, let's see.
What kind of questions do we have here?
Maybe, you know, saying booted me offline.
Really?
All right. No, my computer just went to sleep.
Oh.
So I just was recording a Q&A segment for the show tonight, today. All right. So, who should I take on first up in here? Man, we got like 15 questions, people. So
wow.
Just, we're going to pick and choose. Yeah, I'll try to hit them all because some of them are related. Like Tim Barwick. I think I pronounced his name right. Tim asked, Die Hard or Terminator? Die Hard or... Talking about movies. So he did a two-parter, Die Hard or Terminator or X-Men or Avengers. So we're going to get into movies. We'll start light, then I'll get into the deep stuff for you because there's a couple deep questions in cheer. Die Hard or Terminator? I gotta go with Terminator. I do enjoy the Die Hard franchise. Don't get me wrong. I love John McClane. Love that shit. Except for the part when he runs across and his feet get ate up by the glass. You know, that was tough for me because I got tender fucking feet too. You know what I mean? I got tender foots. My feet couldn't handle it. I can't even handle walking on sand. I tried to walk on gravel the other day. I was telling Miriam Tazi this, and I couldn't do it. Like, I step on a little pebble, and I'm like, can't do it. And I even had socks on. No good. Won't make it. If the shit breaks down today, and I got to run around with a spear and a bow and arrow to catch food, I ain't doing it barefoot. I can't do it. My feet are super soft. I don't even know how that happened, but they are, man. They just are. So Die Hard or Terminator. But I go with Terminator. I don't even know why I started talking about foots. But Terminator, I got to go with Terminator because it's got everything I want. It's got cyborgs and time travel. You know what I mean? It's got
like
everything.
Terminator better too. Die Hard just became, it's dude movies.
As far as X-Men or Avengers, that's almost a tie because it's kind of the same,
yeah.
I guess. I mean, I'm not a comic book nerd, but I call my son a nerd the other day because every week I take him to the comic book store.
I call my whole family nerds all the time.
Every time he goes to the comic book store, and I buy him comic books because it's encouraging him to read and, you know, use his mind, expand his mind, instead of playing football and stuff. I mean, I encourage that too, but this takes him someplace else. I don't know where it's taking him, but he really enjoys it.
Good.
But I still take advantage of that time to make fun of him. So he'll be in there picking out a magazine. This week, he didn't get a magazine, a comic. He got a poster. And when he got the poster, I was like, you don't want to, you know, get a book and a poster or whatever, comic. And he's like, oh, I just want the poster. I have a whole lot of posters. And I think I might even frame it.
Aww,
and
that's like you.
And I go,
what are you making fun of him? You're the same way.
And so while he's telling me that, and he goes... He said something. Oh, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, yeah, he was talking about that. He goes, and I have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and my mom thinks I should frame it, so I'm going to frame those posters because I really want to see the movie. And I goes, well, when the movie come out? And, you know, right when I say, when's the movie come? And he goes, August 8th. And I go, damn, nerd! And he just looks at me, and I'm like... But I couldn't even get it out. And he was like, August 8th? And I'm like, nerd.
Oh, my God. You sound like a nerd when you talk about shit, too.
Nerd.
Come on.
Yeah, he's a carbon copy. But still, he needs to be made fun of. He's got to develop a tough skin. So I got to put it on him every chance I get. Plus, I get a laugh out of it. So, why was I talking about that? Oh, X-Men and Avengers. Yeah.
Right.
Who knows, Tim? I don't know. X-Men or Avengers.
You can say tie.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like X-Men because there's so many different ways you can go with it. Yeah, and I like the whole thing of being able to, you know, transform, where you got these genetic mutations. I like that. And they time travel too. I like that. I'm going with X-Men.
All right.
Going with X-Men. That's my final answer. You know what I mean? What do you want from me? Nerd. all right. Here's a couple. Let's go down the line. Balter, Brandon Alter, he's out there at Comic-Con. He asks, favorite screenwriter? He always asks something, man. Favorite screenwriter? I mean, of course, you know, I can go with the usual suspects, Joel and Ethan Coen. I mean, come on, Coen brothers, are you kidding me?
They are very talented.
Are you kidding me? They got Fargo, Big Lebowski, you know, those alone. Lebowski alone, I mean, you're set. So you can't really go wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
Huh? No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, no, it's
Miller's Crossing. God damn, Mariam Tazi.
Everything they've done is really good.
They do it all. Let's see. I'm gonna look it up.
There was that weird one with the, what's his name, Clooney.
Oh, Brother, We're Out There.
No, not that one. It's like a reading one, a book one.
Who knows, Mariam, but that's who I'd pick. I like the Coen brothers. I love Chris Nolan. Chris Nolan, and of course, he's done, of course, the Batman movies, but I mean, just the Prestige.
You love that movie.
I watch that every other month. I'll watch
really?
It. Really? Yeah. I just throw it on. I'm telling you, movies to me, it's like listening to, vinyl records or something. It's like listening to music. I mean, how can you get tired of looking
music
at
that you
something?
Love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how can you?
I mean, I'll get into phases. You know, I can't watch the same movie like over and over and over again. I mean, not within like a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he wrote Inception. He wrote The Prestige, Memento. I mean, those alone.
Memento
is
awesome.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with those. It's just, they're awesome films.
All of those are good.
Let's see, who else do we have in this corner? I love Paul Thomas Anderson, yeah. Wes Anderson. I mean, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Paul Thomas Anderson, Boogie Nights, Magnolia. I mean, what's better than that? Huh? And all the Wes Anderson stuff that he writes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could go on and on. Tarantino, of course. I like some of the stuff that he's written. I think he wrote Django Unchained, I think. He writes stuff.
Right.
And some of them are based on Elmer Leonard. Of course, Jackie Brown was. So, you know, I think I had an argument with somebody about that. I was like, yeah, he didn't technically write that.
No, if it's based on a book, it's been
written. But you still have to
screenwrite.
You still have to
adapt it, right?
Yes, yeah. Plus, Tarantino just has his own flavor, and so I like everything about him. Which leads me to the next question about Quentin Tarantino.
What's up?
By Earl Smith. Earl Smith. So he says, "You think people that didn't like Pulp Fiction just don't understand how funny details are?" So people don't understand details. So I guess what Earl is saying is Tarantino is very detailed.
Oriented.
Yeah, yeah. Just the conversations and everything that goes on, which is true. I just think that I don't know if there's an in-between with Tarantino. I think you either love him or hate him.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it seems it is.
It's not like,
I'm really surprised when people hate him. I'm like, how can you hate him? But maybe it's just because I love him and I just can't see it the other way. But his movies I can watch.
I think
over
he's
and over again.
I think he's, you know, he's genius in what he does, and I applaud and
it's
appreciate his genius. Yeah. I love everything that he does. I love his dialogue. I love how he shoots a scene. I love when he does his transitions, when he doesn't cut and he just has the camera just moving. Tarantino it's one of those deals. It's like Mangria, you know what I mean? It's like some people get it and some people don't.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Please everybody,
and Tarantino
though.
Tells you what the movie's going to be about. He says it's a spaghetti western, or this mm-hmm. is a play on this, or a take on that, or whatever. It's as true to form as this going to get. You can't spell it out any other way. And that's Tarantino. He doesn't pull any punches. You know what I mean? He just he does what he does. And I love him.
I think he does it well.
People that don't understand Tarantino, you really can't be that down with me.
Really?
Yeah. you really can't. You can't be that down with me. Like, I always look at you, you know what I mean, with my third eye. You know what I mean? I'm always going to look at you a certain way. I don't care who you are.
Something wrong with you. you don't like Tarantino.
Yeah.
I'm surprised every time. I'm like, really?
That's like,
I don't think Brandon likes him.
It's like saying you don't like NWA. You know what I mean? I can see why someone won't, but I'm going to look at you a certain way. I'm going to look at you a certain way.
Changes things.
I'm going to watch you. I'm going to watch you. That's all I'm saying. So I'm down with Tarantino.
Fair enough.
All right, Earl? That's what's up. Let's see. Baba, 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 baba.
It's also hard to say what other people don't get about it if you like it. So it's, you know.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Anything good in there?
So next up I got, ooh-wee, your thoughts on Mangria.
What's on your mind?
I'm tripping. I'm reading too many things, people, because I can't read because I'm dyslexic. All right. Your thoughts on Mad Max Fury Road. It's a three-parter, Bryant. Bryant X, as we call him on this show. Ask your thoughts. I think he wants to fuck with me.
Of course he does. When does he not?
This motherfucker wants to fuck with me.
You do the same thing to him.
This motherfucker really wants to fuck with me. All right. My thoughts on Mad Max. He knows I like Mad. I have a special place in my heart for all three of these subjects. So here we go, people. It's going to be a long
sigh.
It's going to be a long podcast. So just, you know, like I said, you can pause it, come back to this later if you want. Whatever. Break it down. I don't expect you guys to listen to this all the way through, but I'm probably going to rant a little bit on this one. Your thoughts on Mad Max Fury Road, second part, can Ben Affleck pull off Batman, and Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, wow.
So, Mad Max Fury Road, I'm not putting a lot of stock. I don't put a lot of stock in any movies these days. I just don't do it because I get pissed off.
Yeah.
You know? Mad Max, it's Mel Gibson made it famous back in the day. Let me see if I can pull it up. Mad Max Fury Road. All right, so I think this is a continuation of the trilogy from the Mad Max series portrayed by Mel Gibson. So this is starring Tom Hardy. But Tom Hardy, he's got juice. He's, you know, he embodies, I think, what we think Mad Max should look like or who he is. I don't know. You know, it's directed by and written by George Miller, and he did the original ones. So, yeah, I think with today's technology and financing and fanfare and all that stuff, I think it'd be a good film.
Well.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it wouldn't be hard for them to fuck it up, you know? I mean,
it's easy for people to screw things up.
But Hardy, I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, Tom Hardy, he brings it. He brings his A-game in everything. He brought his A-game in Dark Knight with Bane. He did Inception. I mean, everything that he's ever done is pretty solid. So I think this will
You're
be
hopeful.
This yeah, I think this would be a good vehicle for him. He was in a fantastic movie called Warrior, you know, about an extreme fighter that goes through to win money for his falling friend who was killed in, I think, in Afghanistan, and he wants to give money to his family, so he got into this extreme fighting championship and fought his way all the way to the top, only to be faced by his brother, who he had a bitter falling out with, kind of like my family. There's, you know, some infighting amongst the ranks sometimes, and it happens. But these dudes slugged it out. Great film. If you haven't seen Warrior, should I say, it's fantastic. And Tom Hardy was also in Lawless. Lawless, set in the Depression era in Franklin County, Virginia. It's about a, you know, group of brothers bootlegging. You know what I mean? And this movie was okay. His performance was fantastic. There were some holes in it that I didn't like and I didn't really agree with in it. But it's still worth a watch. So if you get a chance to see that, I'd see that if I were you. So I think Hardy's going to bring it regardless, because everything that he's been in, he's done a fantastic job with. So I do look forward to seeing whatever comes out. I don't really put any stock into it, but we'll see. As far as Ben Affleck pulling off, man, I tell you, I think it's going to be commercialized. I'm not a big fan of the Man of Steel. So it's
you were really disappointed.
It's under that same leadership that did Man of Steel. And where are you going to go with it? Man of Steel sucked. You know what I mean? It sucked. I don't care what anyone says about it. It was a good action movie. But Superman is above and beyond action. To embody what it is to be Superman, you have charisma. You got to have charm. You got to have chemistry. There's love. There's romance. There's the mystery. There's all these different elements that make up the soul of Superman. And they totally missed it. All they wanted to focus on was the CGI, the explosions, how good he looked in the suit. We agree. The suit was cool. He's muscular. He's the package. He's got the jaw. He's got all that stuff. But he fell flat. No personality, no chemistry, no love, no romance, no mystery. Took the mystery out of Superman. Took the mystery out. You know, Lois Lane knows who Clark Kent is. Knows who he is. What the hell is that? You can't do that. It's like changing Santa Claus's suit to blue. It doesn't happen. There's some things you just don't mess with.
That's weird.
I'm losing it right now.
You're getting so pissed.
You don't do
high nerd. Blood pressure. Yeah. There you go. But I'm glad you called yourself out.
Some things you just don't mess with. So yeah, Superman's. There was nothing in that film that was game changing. They rushed it. They rushed the CGI. They introduced Zod too much. They introduced General Zod too soon, should I say? And just trying to put it all in one film to win the summer. And yeah, they did that, and you know it made money and all this. Of course it will, but. You lost the essence. It didn't have the soul. We've talked about soul many a times on this podcast, from music, from how you work, all that stuff. And Superman misses that mark. And maybe I'm just one of those old heads. It's like, you know, just so attached to Christopher Reeve. But what Chris Reeve did, we call him Chris. Chris Reeve did, which was so magical. He made you believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was vulnerable, but he made you believe. And not only that, he made you believe you could fly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember those days.
Yeah.
It was very fantastical.
And you could counter that and say, oh, that was back in the day, 1978. You guys didn't have any technology. So anything we put in front of you, you believe. But no, that movie holds up to this day, even to this day.
It had more heart. Yeah, no, it did. You're right.
It just is different.
He was more vulnerable.
It just is.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck? This isn't going to, people aren't going to look back and say, no one is humming the Man of Steel theme song right now. No one is. No one knows what it is. I couldn't pull it out of air if you put a gun to my. But could I hum the Superman theme? Absolutely. John Williams. Why do you do this to me, people? Why would you even ask me this question? I don't even understand. John Williams. I mean, why would you even ask me this question? Are you serious?
You knew it would get a reaction out of you.
Star Wars, Episode 7. What do you want me to say about that? I mean, yeah. I don't even know where to even begin with this. Okay? I don't have any hope whatsoever. There's some cool elements that I'm hearing, but I refuse to submerge myself in this madness. All right? I refuse. I can't. Okay? Yeah, okay. You got Luke Skywalker in it. You got Han Solo in it. Luke I could see you having in. I don't know what part Harrison Ford. I mean, I don't know how that, you know, Luke you can always do because he could be a figure like Obi-Wan Kenobi was, older, seasoned and all that. But, we'll see what happens. I'm not even going to get myself worked up because, you know, John Williams. At least they have the sense to bring John Williams back It's all about John. The music moves the story. The music is part of the soul. You know what I mean? Now they got all this thunderous, boom, boom, this
it's
bass
very
and
distracting.
Stuff. What are you guys doing? Huh?
It's distracting.
We get it. You got bass. Right. We get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sounds good in the theater.
Get the
okay.
hell out of here,
it's
man.
It's making my shirt move.
So, you know, I'm not going to even get into Star Wars. It is what it is. We'll see what happens. But I don't expect anything from Episode 7. So,
you sound pissed.
I got nothing to say, man. I'm very disturbed right now.
Oh.
So let's see what the next question is. Thoughts on the Silver Line? They're asking about the new Silver Line. I didn't even know what the Silver Line was. John Gotti asked that. Gotti? Is it Get? How do you pronounce his last name?
I don't know. I know them by first name now.
G-A-T-T is Gotti. Gotti. It's not Gotti because Gotti is G-O.
Yeah.
Gotti. We're going to say Gotti. I've known him for a long time. I just haven't really nailed that one. Anywho, he asked about the Silver Line. I guess that's Mariam Tazi pointed out that that's the new
Metro
in Tyson's Corner, Virginia.
Yeah.
So outside of Northern, what do I think about it? It's great, I guess. It looks like hell, but it looks like something out of The Dark Knight. Batman Begins.
Underground. Should put under, not mm-hmm. over.
But, I mean, they built the shit. It's good.
It took forever, though. It's been delayed years. That's why it's such a big deal. But there's just like a new plaza now.
It'd be good. People can get into Tyson's. They can get to the wine shops. They can get to the events to buy more mangrove.
There you go.
So, I mean, that's what's up. We need people to build more trains so people get around and buy more mangrove. That's how it is, which goes into my next question. How much mangrove is safe to consume in a 24-hour period? Thanks, by John Fitzgerald. That's what I'm talking about.
That's
as much
question.
As you can handle. I don't know. It's
it doesn't
know,
take much.
It's 20% alcohol.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to do the deed.
Yeah, it's I haven't put that to the test. You know, even when I was making mangria cocktails for my family at the cookout, I was just making them. They're like, "You're not going to drink none." I don't drink. You know, I do drink, but you know, I usually make them and let other people drink. That's my job. Okay? Don't worry about me. You know what I mean? Don't worry about me. You guys drink. And you tell me how much is safe. How's that, John Fitzgerald?
You try it. Let me know.
Go out. Take the Silver Line to the nearest wine shop.
Vienna Vintner, okay? For example.
That's right. And buy Mangria and then put it to the test. And then you let me know those details. That way I'll have a point of reference so I can answer that question should it come up. Mm. So there you have it. Let's see. Yeah. So these are some deeper questions. We got a few of them, so I'm going to roll through them. Randall Cooper, what is a thought? Where does it come from? And what is it made of? And then Michael Jefferson asks, why aren't the people of Generation X standing up for Americans for America? These are tough questions. Let's do the Generation X one. Generation X, standing up for Americans for American. I have no idea what you're talking about, Michael J. What does that mean?
Generation X?
I know what Generation X is, but standing up for Americans for America.
I don't know what he means by that.
I don't know, Mike J., but we may have to get you on the blower, on the horn,
yeah, we'll
and see
him.
If we can see if we can answer that for you. But I think everyone's standing up for themselves these days. I think that's maybe people we've become so infatuated, you know, with our own selves that we kind of stop paying attention to what's going on around us. I think in some areas I see that, you know what I mean? Because it's all about me. It's all about what I need. I need a San Pellegrino. Aren't you going to give me a San Pellegrino? No, I'm not going to give you a San Pellegrino. That's my San Pellegrino. What the hell? You know what I mean? I'm going to make Superman a movie, and I'm going to change everything. I'm going to change the whole story. I'm going to make his suit darker. You know what I mean? I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it more real. I'm going to set it in the real world. It's all about what I want to do. We forget that we're here for each other. So it could be the case, John Williams. I don't know. You know, I don't know. We need a little bit more community. We need more of us standing up for each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if it takes me, all jokes aside, me taking time out and actually interacting with my family and my friends and staying longer and participating.
That's a step.
And that's what we have to do. We have to look within ourselves and see what we can do so we can be joined together so we can be together, so we can grow together, so we can live together. I'm for Americans. It's called American Riddle. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That's what it is, Mike J. So
not bad.
That's what's up. As far as Randall's question, a thought begins in the mind. You know what I mean? You got to have a mind to think. And if you want a healthy thought, you need to have a healthy mind, a clear mind. Because there's been times when I haven't been at my best, and I could be up and down, or I could have issues. You go through life and shit happens, and you got your mind's clouded, so you may have cloudy thoughts. But at the end of the day, Randall, and you already know this because you're a deep-thinking motherfucker.
It's all energy, though.
Yeah, it starts – that energy that starts in the mind, you know, it's then manifested and transformed.
More energy in the universe.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, what a thought. Where does it come from and what is it made of? Yeah, that's it. Miriam Tazi hit it. It's energy. It is.
That's what I think anyway, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, thoughts can also be, like, put into people's heads called brainwashing, so that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, that's another story. But, yeah. I mean, the thought itself, what is it made of? It's energy, right?
I think
so. And it's rawest form, the truest form. But it's up to you to actually take that thought if you want to put it into someone else's mind, or if you want to make something, if you want to build something, if you want to create something. It's up to you to actually take that thought. You know, from
well,
because
it's also, you know, how people are like, if you think more positive, then you live more positive and things like that. So you can also control your thoughts, you know, like
you
thoughts
do.
Are there. So I've noticed that when I was down and I started thinking more positively, just more positive things started happening. But when you're negative and you're depressed and you have negative thoughts, it just feeds into that negativity and it just gets bad. So
true that. So that's, you know. We could go deep into that conversation, but maybe we should have Randall call in and get him on the horn.
Because
Randall is a very unique character, martial artist, bit of a thinker, you know, someone who's very creative. My first cousin, actually. Oh. And,
I'm glad your cousins are listening.
Yeah, I guess a few people pay attention. You know, it's cool. It's starting to grow. It's taking form. That's right. Then we have Antoinette. Antoinette posted, Antoinette was on the show not too long ago, people, her and her father. She posted, they own the wine shop, The Cork and Fork. What's the meaning of life?
Oh, whoa.
The universe and everything.
Oh, Lord.
The meaning is, it goes back to what we just said on the thought. It's your energy, what you're going to put into it. You know this. You guys know this. But sometimes we forget it. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we're like, man, what am I doing here? You know, what are we doing here? You know, it's what we're going to do. How we're going to, you know, make this thing work. Because we're only here for a quick snapshot. You know, just really quick moment in time that you can make the best of it or the worst of it. You know, life can, it can pass you by. So, you know, the meaning itself is what you want to make. You know, be the star of your movie. You know what I mean? You want to write your own script, you know. Don't let anyone else write it, and don't let anyone else define it. And the same thing with the universe. You're creating your universe. Don't be created, and don't be put in someone else's universe. You got someone you're hanging out with. You got fools that are just being foolish. You got people. Could be family. Could be anything. Could be a job that you hate. If you're existing in that universe, you're not creating your world. You know what I mean? You have to figure a way to get out of that if you're in an unhappy state, because that's your universe. That's your world. And ultimately, that's going to define your meaning of life. So if your life is set up and you're like, man, this is Suckville, USA, well, then, man, you need to pack up and get out of Suckville, USA. Figure a way to do it. I mean, for God's sake, if I can, you know, one moment, you know, be in Suckville, USA, speaking about myself, complaining about any issues that I have on the East Coast, and then one minute I'm in Bel Air or Beverly Hills, you know what I mean? You can do it. Believe me, if you're listening to this program and you say, I want to do a podcast, or if I want to make a film, or if I want to make music, or I want to better my surroundings, or move out of this apartment, or get a house, own a house, buy a car, you know, find a wife, you know, find good people, you can do it. Because this podcast is a testament to that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I started to put things that I wanted to do late in the game, very, very, very late in the game, and I'm more happy now. Even though, like I said, it doesn't nothing here is making me wealthy in far as money, but it's making me wealthy in my mind and in my body and the people I surround myself with. So that's the meaning, you know what I mean? And you can do it. I mean, it's just you have to take that first step to define.
Well, you have to look into yourself, you know, and figure out what you really, really want, you know, and what you can do.
And that's your universe. That's your meaning. That's what
your universe, you know. You're your own universe, your body and your soul.
That's what people miss sometimes. That's what I've missed many times. And you find yourself 10 years into a job that you hate or a place you don't want to be. You still have you have options. I don't care how, you know, how much heat's on your back or where you're at. You could be in the joint right now. But as long as you're breathing, you have options. And you just got to put it in. You need to find your resources and find your team. And even if it's just one person, even if you don't have that person, but you're that person, you can make a change.
Yeah,
you can make
a
difference.
You can count on yourself.
Damn right. Yeah. And then plant those seeds. And through those seeds, you're going to water them and something's going to grow. Believe that. I'm telling you, this podcast is living proof of it. And, you know, every day, you know, with your help, you know, it starts to grow. And that's what you guys need to do. Because Mariam-Tazi, what do you think our number one form of advertising is?
Word of mouth.
That's right. And how does that word of mouth get around?
People.
That's right. So the people have to share. You guys have been, a few of you guys have been sharing it, reposting. If you could post it, take it out, take the link, post it on your page. That gets me, you know, gets us, our podcast, yours, the listener, you know, it gets this tribe of ours that we're building, Tribe Called Riddle. It gets our tribe, you know, noticed. And the more that happens, the bigger our tribe goes. And we're strength in numbers. So the people out there, any of you guys out there listening, I challenge you. If it's a podcast that you like, if there's an episode that you want to share, just take the link, post it on your page. It does, you know... It's a big thing for me personally, just because, you know, sometimes I wonder, I do question, like, is someone out there listening? But you know what? I don't have to really ask myself that too many times because I know you are. I know you are. And I appreciate it. And that's the only way we can grow is to share everything. Everything. That's how it's done, right?
I agree.
You agree.
That's scary. It's very... It's weird to finish off on a philosophical note.
They asked a question.
I know.
I just answered the best I could. And, you know, I always close it the same way, the only way. Domino, motherfucker.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low. Couldn't get a ticket. It was a sold-out show. Heard the roar of the crowd. He could picture the scene.
Felt good in his hands. Didn't take long to understand.
his own shadow by the backstage door, like a trip through the past.